to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So here we are, stirring the winter solstice cauldron radio. Conjuring, like, what would gladden my and all of our hearts? What would make this fun drive fun? And I go, I know. Well, first, it's Stacey Abrams' birthday, more on that. But we welcome the return of Heather Rowan Robbins from last week, because so fun, and Sean Padraic O'Donohue to stir this cauldron of renew all and to make fun drive fun magic. So as we might remember, Heather Rowan Robbins, long, long time ally of mine and world, has practiced as a ceremonialist, counselor, and astrologer for 40 years with a commitment to making real and quality astrology accessible to the public. Yes. She's the creator of Star Code's Astro Oracle deck that we might bring forth to ask questions. Yeah, okay. And is the author of Moon Wisdom, Everyday Palmistry, children's books. She has penned her weekly Star Codes column for the past 30 years and co-hosts the weekly podcast of Access Astrology. Welcome, Heather.
Hi, welcome. So glad to be here, Caroline.
And one of the great things about radio and about this show is to introduce people to each other. It's so wonderful. So welcoming also collegial Celtic wizard Sean Padraic O'Donohue, the author of The Forest Reminds Us Who We Are, Connecting to the Living Medicine of Wild Plants. Sean is an herbalist, writer, and teacher, initiated priest in two traditions. Oh. I'll have to ask which ones. He lives in the mountains of Western Maine. His approach to healing weaves together the insights of traditional Western herbalism and contemporary science. His website is otherworldwell.com. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you. It's so wonderful to be here with you both.
That's great. I love it. And Heather's website is Rowan, R-O-A-N, Robbins, R-O-B-B-I-N-S.com. So, I did want to start off by just saying it is Stacey Abrams' birthday today, auspicious for all life. And she did announce her run again when Saturn dedication was transiting her Jupiter ongoing at the Woman Plans a New degree. And it's also very witty that Pluto is squaring her Mars and Uranus, indefatigable protector of democracy. The image for her Mars and our rising degree for this show is through imagination, lost opportunity is regained. Isn't that fun, team?
Uh-huh.
So here we go. So it is the winter solstice, you know, celebrated for 25,000 years anyway. The dark, 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 and then the light. And, you know, Heather, what are your thoughts about, so there's the always solstice, and then there's this solstice.
The always solstice and the solstice, can you define that? Difference.
Oh, well, what is unique to us? What is unique to us now, aside from the extreme danger of the world, right?
Oh, this is, yes, this solstice, as the sun goes into Capricorn and brings our heart back to our traditions, our roots, the ground underneath us. And this year, the dark of it, as it turns into the light, will also have two pretty powerful aspects going on at the same time that weigh heavily on us, but also can inspire us for the changes in the year ahead. Venus conjuncts Pluto, and normally Venus only conjuncts Pluto for a few days a year, but this year it conjuncts Pluto three times because it hits it this weekend, then retrogrades back and conjuncts Pluto again right on Christmas Day. And then when it turns direct, passes over that point again March 3rd. Now, Venus and Pluto haven't done this three-way dance since 1995, right after the last women's conference, international women's conference in Beijing, where, you know, the great revelation that women's rights are human rights was announced. And it's often when Venus and Pluto conjunct, we are asked both on one side to love deeper than ever, to bring our hearts to compassion no matter what. And on the other side, we have to look at how power issues and power struggles, how to love in the face of loss, which is also beautiful, but how to empower the anima rather than let the anima struggle in power over issues. So I think there's a real question of how do we take care of the anima and the culture this solstice. There's also a Saturn-Uranus square exact on Christmas Day, the third time this year, that has been constantly, you know, causing minor earthquakes and changes in plans and, you know, just use your pencil on the calendar until after and this winter solstice, because it's happening that whole week from the solstice itself through Christmas Day, where, you know, we're just feeling the shifts and the change. What do we want to shift and change? That's a good time to kind of bring that in, to invoke what we want to shift and change, where we want the earthquakes to happen, what we want to shift and change for the year ahead.
Yes.
So those are my thoughts.
That's great. Now, all auguries, and as we know, it's been on our work table all year, this Saturn, how we gather, you know, including on radio, how do we gather in accord with nature's guiding evolutionary design genius, right? And all structures not in accord, you know, some famous person whose name will come back to me said, you know, Sir Herbert Reed, only those serving an apprenticeship to nature can be trusted with technology. So we want to put this on our altar of desirable manifestation. And Sean, you know, you deeply Celtic, cauldrons bubbling away, solstice. What are your thoughts about solstice and this solstice time?
I've been drawn so much these past few years to the ancient stone monuments, and particularly to the monuments at the mouth of the Boyne River, where the solstice sun goes deep into the cave, which is also the burial chamber, and illuminates the carvings of the stones and awakens their voices and the voices who dwell there. For years, no was with Stone Hills, and about how in recent decades, a few people have been able to witness that sunbeam. But last year, and it will happen again this year, because the pandemic prevents living people from gathering within the chamber, there will be a video cast in which millions of people around the world will simultaneously see the illumination of that chamber. And I feel like it's an opportunity for these deep ancestral voices to reach us. And I'm thinking also about the insight of the spiritual ecologist and sorcerer Robin Artisan, whose new book, The House of the Giantess, about Stonehenge, just came out. And one of the things that he talks about is modern people like to ask these questions of how did ancient people make these things out of stone? And his answer is, well, they didn't. They spoke with the stones, and they worked with the stones, and they created together with the stones. Yeah. And so it is the stones and the carvings and the bodies and the land and the water all speaking at once when the sun illuminates that chamber.
That's great. Yeah. Right. Now the stones cooperate. Yeah, everything that you're saying, Uranus in Taurus is the return in all of us. You know, we don't even need to know astrology. We're all practicing it, of a living animism and respect for all flora, fauna. And what you said, I was talking to a Taurus woman some years past talking about animism, and she said, oh, yes, 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 I make stone walls and they last forever because I always invite the stones to hang together before I begin. And then a Hawaiian friend said, well, this is how the kahunas tell their story, that before a large undertaking, they would walk through the land and ask what stones wanted to be part of this project. And the stones that volunteered would carry half their weight. So we go, that's great. And one of the things we've been honoring on this show for 25 years is the wonderful Thai saying, because we were never colonized, we never lost our animism. right? The loss of animism is a sign of colonization, right? So we're so all of us, the three of us and everybody listening, you know, we have a giant cauldron. We have a giant cauldron, and we go, right, colonialism into the cauldron, reverent participatory animism out, so we can do that throughout our cahooting. No, that's a great thing that you said, Sean, right, the video cast, because I've often said, you know, what is the earliest form of community magic? You know, oh, literal and symbolic light of sun, come on in and illuminate what we don't usually see, illuminate all that you said, Sean, you know, and Heather, you know, this is the story our community wants to vitalize, that we're, you know, humbled and inviting in the power to animate the story that we all gathered to propose, right? And that's why I love animistic radio magic as kind of a Saturn, Aquarius, Uranus, kind of a Taurus kind of a deal. So that's really wonderful. Let me just remind our dedicated listeners that we are in Fun Drive, and we have two wonderful guests who have agreed to make this a party, a stirring the cauldron, solstice cauldron party. So many great things, as you know, are proffered, and I was seeing, many things, you know, wonderful shows before us. Mitch Jezerich is wonderful. His history, We Are the Land, a History of Native California, for a pledge of $150. And also, I loved that Inflamed, radio guests of mine, Inflamed, Deep Medicine and the Anatomy of Injustice by Raj Patel and Rupa Maria, a great book for a pledge of $150. But we, unique to us here, Sean will be cahooting with me on Winter Solstice Zoom. That will be December 21st at 8 p.m. East Coast time. And you can have access to that, a digital ticket to attend Caroline W. Casey Winter Solstice Zoom event on December 21st, 2021, Astrology, Mythology, Ritual, Magic, Music to Guide Us Through the Dark of the Year, for a pledge of $100 or $10 a month. There you go. And then we also have our visionary activist show collection, The World Belongs to Storytellers, and that's Scheherazade Saves the World, really great, Winter Solstice 2001, still relevant, Bioneers Conference, Sufi Aikido, Bodhisattva Trickster's Guide to Brewing Underworld Medicine, still relevant. That's from the Bioneers Conference 2019, the last time they met. Story of Mushka Gusha, Naomi Shihab Nye from our archives, wonderful poetess, really great. Janine Benyus, fabulous. I still reference that particular interview. Founder of biomimicry, invaluable. Karen Brown, co-weaving Etsy. G. Willow Wilson, Venus, and that is from her splendid book, Aleph the Unseen, which is a translation of the Arabian Nights into the modern digital world. So all of those things, and that's for a pledge of, wait, I've got it here. That's why. Thank you for your patience, everyone. That's why I ask. It's for a pledge of $75 or $10 a month. All of that or any of that can be yours by calling 800-439-5732, 800-439-5732, or online kpfa.org. There we go over there. So yes, thank you, team. Because yeah, well, we like this is our gathering place. This is our Stonehenge in a sense, where the likes of ourselves, you know, Heather and Sean and Maria Rupa and Raj Patel and many great beings at this dangerous time can meet. So we're exhorting. Now, have either of you been watching the Beatles Get Back thing?
I haven't been. I'm looking forward to it, but I haven't had the chance.
Well,
is it wonderful?
Very, it is. And at first, it's like hanging out with any band rehearsing, going, oh, okay, you can walk around and make coffee like the thing. But then, you know, and I just want to pitch it to both of you, too. Right now, you know, there are different sleeper cells reporting in for duty. So part of what described the 60s is the Uranus-Pluto conjunction, the experimentation, death, rebirth.
Good,
a start, not complete, but it is now being trined by Uranus. So the 60s are coming alive. Those who were born then, those who lived through it, and those who listen to the Beatles, because they, you know, in a human befoibled way, they really put their sails up to catch that wind. I mean, I remember as a really a little girl when Sgt. Pepper's came out, it was the only time all the kids in my neighborhood gathered to solemnly listen, you know, and it was like, right, it is an outward expression of our inner collective life. And watching it, it's like that. They're befoibled and everything, but so interesting. So I just found it really heartening that it's so huge now in the collective mind, and worthily so in all of its befoiblement. And we go, and what is Yoko doing there? We don't know. But anyway, so I just wanted to bring that up as, you know, everything humming, everything useful in our culture, you know, coming back for fresh expression.
And, I always thought they were such a great example of the differences that come together when you have that, and they had diversity of music, if not diversity of cultural backgrounds, that the tension between them and the loving tension created the space for the muse to speak really clearly. They were definitely, it feels like it was so much coming through them. And then when they separated off into the various places, never quite held that magic quadrangle again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that sometimes it's those, the collaborations with those that are not exactly easy, but create a larger space than we could ever create by ourselves. I think that was one of the gifts of that era that we have long forgotten, is the, you know, magical collaborations. And I'd love to see more of those magical collaborations. So I think it's a great image to bring back into the culture.
And I'm thinking about the turns on the turns of phrase with sleeper cells and humming, and thinking about, oh, well, actually our bodies are full of sleeper cells with DNA that is not yet epigenetically activated. And we talk so much about genetic trauma and epigenetic activation of it, but there's the whole flip side, which is the genetic gifts and the epigenetic activation of them, and how much in my life sound has been a sense through which I've experienced that, how much music and language activate that. And I think one of the great gifts with the Beatles is that with George Harrison's bringing in the influence of the sitar, the drone instrument sound really came back to bring something humming into Western music again. And though that particular kind of drone sound that got integrated in some of the Beatles' later work and then rippled outward into the culture is very important, I think, for activating some of those deeper parts of us that know how to listen to earth and tree and water and stone.
Yes. No, beautifully said. So sleeper cells and you know, our mythic DNA, and that's very much, you know, Neptune, the intelligence of mythic DNA really has been stationing, meaning it looks like it's standing still, which just means it really wants our attention. And it does square the Sun in Sagittarius. So we have two Jupiters. We have the Sagittarius outward questing out there, Jupiter, at 18 plus Sagittarius, which is Greta Thunberg's Pluto, and therefore people, all people born around that time. And I love how we're practicing astrology without needing to know it. It's also Jane Fonda's Venus, same degree. And Jane Fonda, without referencing astrology, said it was because of Greta Thunberg's dedication that she spent her 80th year birthday in prison and is completely dedicated to resolving climate crisis and humans having manners again. So we go, right. And its image is Exodus, pelicans disturbed by men move to safer places to protect their children. And we go, right. And it squares Neptune in Pisces, the dream reverie. So the outward questing exodus and then the dreaming and what you were both saying, the humming of what guidance we need at this powerful time, you know, stirring the cauldron. Back to Heather too. I love Venus, beauty in Capricorn, the useful. It's William Morris's encouragement. Let us have only those things in our homes that we know to be useful and believe to be beautiful. And I think that's good dating advice too. I know this person's useful, and I believe them to be beautiful. It's a kind of thing too. Venus Pluto, you know, says, you know, any enduring relationship must feel as though it's got a mission in which both people are dedicated to something larger than themselves, and that's before us on Christmas, right? As well as the Saturn Uranus, the Christmas dinner insisting on everyone's equality. Woohoo! May it be a surprising. What were you going to say, Heather?
I was agreeing. I was woohooing with you.
Okay. Yeah, so the beautiful and the useful, and it does remind us that in this year drawing to a close, you know, that the death and rebirth structure, anything not based on biomimicry, Janine Benyus is part of our interview package that we're offering, will collapse. And so collapsing structures, you know, all over, but the energy invested in those structures is available for investing in something more collaborative, and good for all beings. Again, this design genius. So there.
Come tag in on that, on the imagery of Capricorn, because this conjunction is happening in Capricorn, and Pluto has been asking us, you know, taking us through the underworld of Capricorn for so long. But Capricorn is that symbol of the mergoat, where the tail of the fish that walks up to the top of the mountain with the mountain goat. And goats out here in the West, I live near Glacier National Park, mountain goats look kind of silly walking on flat terrain. They look the most graceful beings doing their ballet up a mountain with a clear goal. And I think of the tail fish of it asking us to get that dream and walk it up to the mountain. And I always think of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech as ode to Capricorn. The gift of I have a dream and now I will walk it across the country to make it happen. And to bring our hearts back to that imagery right on this solstice season, that we need to kind of go into that underworld and go into the caves and go into the barrows and remember our dreams. Remember our dreams for this country. Remember our dreams for ourselves. Remember our dreams for our community. And then be willing to walk them up to the mountaintop. Make it useful.
That's great. And all of these that we're living through are profoundly deconditioning. So, yeah, to take the goat, all of us, you know, Capricorn is our sturdy mountain goat. It's our authority. We want to keep it. Somebody might get our goat. Politics might get our goat, but we see our goat returning. And so what I like to say about Capricorn is sturdy mountain goat can climb any mountain. So the main issue is what mountain? We all may know the experience of climbing the mountain going, oh, wrong mountain. I just climbed somebody else's mountain. But I can see, we can all see our mountain, you know, down the valley and across the way. And so it's like, thum, 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 thum. But I think in the deconditioning realm for all of us, it's like, well, let's rededicate our definition of what unites us, our definition of democracy, you know, that everyone be deconditioned to find their own definition, their own authority, which unites them also in group endeavor. So, so the sturdy mountain goat, is your goat frisky, Sean?
Yes, very much so. And I'm thinking also very much about mountains. I've been reflecting a lot this week on my mentor from my Catholic days, Philip Berrigan, who died 19 years ago this week, and about his lessons First of all, I learned so much from this Catholic priest about ritual magic that applies to my life as a pagan. But one of the important things was the idea of, as you would say, Caroline, animating the desirable story. And I think about the brilliance of Philip and his brother Dan and their six companions who in 1980, when people were speaking of doom and gloom and Reagan was about to become president and talking about a vision of the end times out of John of Patmos's Bad Trip, decided to turn to a different part of the book instead and say, well, no, there's this other prophecy we can enact. We can go to Isaiah and they shall stream to the mountain of the Lord and beat their swords into plowshares. And so they went to King of Prussia, Pennsylvania on September 19th, 1980, and went into the General Electric plant and did that literally, hammering on the nose cone of the Mark II missiles. And Philip, at the end of his life, spoke about the holographic structure of the universe and what they were doing in disarming that one weapon was trying to create something that would echo through all of time and space to disarm all weapons. So I think about that when I hear so many people speaking apocalyptic visions now and about the lesson that Phil brought about, well, we can choose what's being revealed by the apocalypse and we can choose which story to animate.
Right. We're always voting for reality, and with every thought, every feeling, every dollar. Okay, let me with my jolly team here making fun drive a party. That's right. There we go. Because we want to keep KPFA flourishing with surprising abundance. That would be so jolly. And we have thank you gifts to proffer. Patrick O'Donohue will be cahooting with me on the winter solstice Zoom. And I'm pretty sure Michaela Gaston as well, and some surprise people. That will be December 21st at 8 p.m. East Coast time, and you can attend that fun Zoom. It will be recorded if you can't make it at 5 p.m. Pacific time for a pledge of $100 or $10 a month. Would be completely great. And then also we are offering our storytelling collection, which is pretty great, from the Visionary Activist Archives, but it includes, you know, Janine Benyus, Biomimicry, Naomi Shihab Nye, Mushka Gusha, The Remover of All Difficulties, Scheherazade Saves the World, for a pledge of $75 or $10 a month, would be wonderful, by calling 800-439-5732. Or pledging online, kpfa.org. It's very quiet out there. I can see you by the phone, everybody. There you go. I know we might be being riveting, but transcend how fascinating we are to call 800-439-5732 or kpfa.org online. So, yeah, absolutely. And pledge for Stacey Abrams, and pledge for all of us that through imagination, lost opportunities are regained. And, you know, and this is our first winter solstice without Robert Bly breathing. He was born on the winter solstice. And so, you know, to honor him, I had his book, but I think the cats have hidden it. But I just wanted to bring up again part of his honoring and deconditioning and his translation of the fabulous Indian woman poetess Mirabai. And I apologize, Robert, I'm going to not completely perfectly quote it by memory, you know, but it's a great poem, Why Mirabai Won't Go Home. So Mirabai was part of Pacifica, really, a feisty woman who her husband died and it's like, now you must marry your brother-in-law. No, I'm going to go be a mystic, and the dark one is that. And the famous, and then apparently in real life, her family sends her a poisonous snake, and she, in keeping with Trickster, says, "You sent me a snake. I wear it as a necklace. Thank you very much." And then she says, "I have felt the magnificent sway of riding on an elephant, and you want me to come back and ride on a donkey? Be serious." Anyway, so there we go. So, yeah, for all of us to go, you know, our own autonomy, and our own autonomy guides us to collective goodness. And we go, right. There's a beautiful thing right now, the moon at 4+ Pisces, which is the warm-hearted church social with a quintile to Mercury at 23 Sagittarius, the bluebird of happiness perched on the gate of a little cottage. And that's Nelson Mandela's rising sign, which I love, because even when he was serving 27 years of a life sentence on Robben Island, he knew he was going to be happy. He knew it was going to turn out through all of that. And that's available to us now. You know, it's Dion Fortune saying part of what sustained us in World War II as ritualists was our dedication to the desirable outcome, the desirable story. And I just want to tie in, Bertolt Brecht has a great essay on five obstacles to telling the truth, which I like. We like to turn into five opportunities. But he says, good-hearted people often tell the story of, we are good, we come up against tyrants, they crush us, but we are good. And he said, we got to quit telling that story about how the good is weak. We want, as water is wet, we want to tell the story about how the good is strong, the good is triumphant. You know, and we add to that going, the good is Pacifica, KPFA, Visionary Activist Show, Stacey Abrams, each in each heart reborn, a chance to rekindle our indefatigable selves, to ladle out of the cauldron of our exhaustion. And maybe we turn to cauldrons right now a little bit, although I love John of Patmos's bad trip. I've been to Patmos Island. I saw where he had that bad trip, and wonderful Isaiah, and then also Robert Bly, infinite gratitude. So whatever I was about to say, that's why I have guests on. What was I about to say, anybody? Or anybody, feel free to chime in. The World Belongs to Storytellers is part of our, you know, for a pledge of $10 a month or $75, you get all that. And now I toss it back to my guests to go wherever they want. What?
I was also offering 3 copies of my deck to your, to the people that might come and offer money during your time.
That's a jolly idea. The grown-ups at Fun Drive said that they weren't doing any product due to coronavirus, but I did notice they're doing books. But I will take that up with them backstage. But sneakily, but we do want to honor your fabulous deck, and maybe even now ask it some questions. And Sean, Heather has this very wonderful astro deck that we honored last week, and I love it. But if Sean wanted to form a question in your heart, you could ask, and Heather would pick 3 cards for you.
Yes.
For example,
and I can pick a card just for our audience to contemplate on the moment. And I have
picked the
card of Pallas Athena, the asteroid that speaks of how do we use our mind and our heart together to not get caught in our brains, to not armor up with our intellect, but to really let our intellect be a voice for those deeper wisdoms, for the magic that we can weave together, and for the wisdom that we can impart. And she works with us when we need to speak up and speak our voice. So she's a wonderful card to have pulled for you, for this imagining that we're doing in the year ahead.
Well, that's great. And let's stir the cauldron. I have some people to thank. Thank the gods. Anonymous in Albany, thank you. Attending the winter solstice, hooray. Patty in Salem, Oregon, thank you, in support of the Visionary Activist Show. Anonymous in Healdsburg, thank you so much. That's wonderful. And let's stir the cauldron. And I want to bring back an old, ancient, new, always pertinent cauldron that appeared in my friend Virginia Daly's dream. But it's so useful, and everybody, you can feel, just participate in this. In her dream, there's a dark figure stirring a cauldron, and vapors of colonial up-to-no-goodness and greed, you know, pour out of the cauldron. And a voice in the dream says to the dreamer, let's have that be all of us, you must take hold of the stirring stick and stir the cauldron in the other direction. And so, as the dreamer, all of us, really, KPFA, Visionary Activist Show, moves toward it through slow motion. It's very slow. But the minute we touch the stirring stick, the evil figure dissipates into vapor. And then slowly, all of us, we can feel it in our hand right now. We all have our hand on the story-stirring stick. And against the centrifugal momentum, we are slowly stirring the cauldron in the other direction towards sane reverence and a renaissance of reverent ingenuity and altruistic ingenuity out of this cauldron of death and rebirth against all odds, which are the odds that Trickster likes. So I like that. We're stirring it together. Whenever I say this, I can feel this. The stick is the story stick, right? That we're that we're all stirring. So that's good. Any more cauldrons you might want to bring into play, Sean?
Always the cauldron of Caradhwen that brings the wisdom of transformation and shape-shifting.
Yes.
Yes. And fierce and, she was. Yes, she was a fierce shape-shifter. And she pursued what she needed to until the work was done. And had a lot to learn along the way. But beautiful.
And also the cauldron of the Dagda, which feeds all who come to it. And is the root of the Irish concept of tlahul, which in modern language means generosity, and in older language means lordliness. The concepts were one and the same.
Lovely.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Lovely. So we can think, we all have a cauldron. We're stirring the cauldron in the opposite direction. Good, as the dark is rising, this turning point again that hums in our ancestors and is extremely pertinent now. And it is generous. It's, again, like one of the last lines that Robert Bly wrote before he entered his silence, before he entered the greater silence, although he might be very talkative now, we don't know. It's a poem that goes on and then says, you know, let us receive the grace for keeping our small boats afloat when so many have gone down in the storm. It's a beautiful line that is resonant, and this time of year is always when we acknowledge the dead, the ancestors with whom we feel kinned, those dear to us who have died this year. It's a deep honoring time. We can think of, we can't live through the dead, but we can invite what we admire in them to live through us, you know, to come on in. And I think the solstice, you know, as all of us would agree, you know, it's the time where we are humbled and we go, come on in, you know, and we make our dedication. And to say, you know, let all humans and wolves and flora and fauna who have been in accord with our dedication, reaching back into the ancestral time, you know, come forward to be our partners, our allies, in this mystery school, disguised as a radio show, disguised as a radio station, right? Pacifica, the goddess of peace. I like to say, you know, humans are befoibled, but Pacifica, the goddess of peace, shapeshifts. And so we're looking for to have support for Pacifica, the goddess of peace, really now, would be super good. I have my, you know, beeswax candle sacred to Venus going, right? I have my rapid luck voodoo oil. There we go. Fast luck voodoo goal. We've got High John the Conqueror oil for wise leadership, right? So we're, you know, we're doing pragmatic radio magic on air as we go now. And to join in this, you know, by one way to stir the cauldron is by calling 800-439-5732. There we go. We're stirring the cauldron in the other direction towards sane reverence. 800-439-5732, or pledging securely online at kpfa.org. There are many fun things that are available as thank you gifts that you can see when you go to kpfa.org. I am particularly admiring of the book Inflamed by Rupa Maria and Raj Patel, guests of this show, for a pledge of $150. But our unique selves here, we're pledging you can attend our Zoom virtual winter solstice on December 21st at 5 p.m. West Coast time, recorded for later if you want, for a pledge of $100 or $10 a month. And then The World Belongs to Storytellers, the Visionary Activist Storytelling Collection, for a pledge of $75 or $10 a month. All for you by calling 800-439-5732. And anyway, we want to exhort. We have several Jupiters here. I mean, we're pledging for Stacey Abrams. We're pledging for Stay in Reverence. I mean, this has always been, you know, what will get us through the winter, you know, the longest night. And Starhawk, we'll see, might be joining me next week. It's all very fluid. There we go. But she will be giving her winter solstice on December 17th, again, virtually, as are we all. But it's from her, so let's remember everything we've ever learned, really, you know. I think it was from Starhawk in 1981 that I first learned the chant, which is so useful. The longest night, the wheel is turning, what will you give to the night, right? And then people shout out, corruption. Corruption is gone with the night, you know. The longest night, the wheel is turning. So it is the longest nights, the wheel is turning, what will we give to the night, you know, and, you know, human ill manners, right? And then what will we ladle out from this night, you know, well, let me ask your cards a fun question, Heather, which is...
Yes.
For our listeners, I suppose, there we go. What should we ask our listeners to magnetize them into participating now? Is that a question? I can't even tell. Does it count as a question?
Yes, and it's interesting because I picked the card Gemini, which in my deck is two bees having a conversation. And cross-pollinating, the idea of cross-pollinating, that when we share, when we buzz, when we make these, and radio is such a wonderful Geminian tool of spreading the word and cross-pollinating, and it's up to us to add the content and the meaning of it. To support this approach of cross-pollination, how important it is to have places where communication meets, where questions and ideas are explored instead of pontificated. And that, I think, is what I want all of your listeners to see, what a treasure this radio show and this radio station is to the concept of cross-pollination, where you get to hear little snippets that ask you to think deeper, that actually fertilize the landscape, that, you know, impregnate the flowers and help the fruit form forth.
That's great. And a pledge for all heretics. Because I think of all of us here are heretics, meaning it was a term of praise, even in early Christianity, because it meant cross-pollinating, free thinking, contributor to culture.
Interesting.
So that knowledge never degraded into dogma. There we go.
Yes.
Let's throw dogma into the cauldron and, you know, liberated curiosity ladled out. Mm-hmm. There we go. And
beautiful.
What is good for all being. So, yeah. So, if you feel you have the soul of a heretic, and the ancestor Margot Adler, also guest of this show, wonderful woman, pagan radio being, calling on her, who on her bumper sticker said, you know, we heart heresy, and we go, and there's Desiree in Benicia, California, pledging, how wonderful. Thank you. So we want to stir a little bit more. So, yeah, for, you know, we heart heresy, cross-pollinating, you know, and that knowledge never degrade into dogma, you know, and that delusion, de ludo means out of the game, illusion is in ludo, in the game. So delusion into the cauldron, in ludo, which is the power of imagination and dreaming the world into being, you know, out. And then, you know, I think you know, many of us maybe, I don't know if you have new thoughts on this, Heather, but, you know, how curious it is that the kind of delusional QAnon thing, you know, swept through the astrological and yoga communities, and it's like, look at that. So my thought is, you know, what makes anybody susceptible to the delusion virus of compensatory condescension? We know, and you don't. You know. And yeah. I think it's dogma. I think it's dogma. I think it's in these spiritual realms where people pretend they know what they haven't yet earned. And I think that makes people vulnerable to, you know, wanting to be in a superior, condescending, compensatory condescending thing. But do you have any thoughts on this quirky thing? Oh, okay, good.
Well, I think of that Neptune, you know, which takes 160-some years to go around the zodiac, in Pisces, last time has such a gift of opening us up to the magic and to the spiritual, to let go of just the edges of consensual reality and hunger for, you know, the dreams beyond. The last time it was in place, in Neptune in Pisces, the spiritualist church came in. It became the fifth most busy church in America, and people communed with spirits on a regular basis. And there was both great fraud and great magic happening at the same time, depending upon what part of that section you were connected to. And Neptune is now at 20 degrees of Pisces. It's about, you know, two-thirds of the way through. But since it's ended, yes, we've had this hunger for spirit, but the question of what is reality, once you begin to let go of, you know, the hardcore gritty edges of reality where we felt before, it, you know, once you step out of that, it takes a lot of critical thinking to interpret the information that's coming in. It's like when we work with our intuition, when we get an intuitive hit, is it our fears, is it our emotions, or is it clear? We may get a clear hint and then distort it with our hopes and our fears. And it's what I feel with when we do not examine carefully what our hopes and fears in are, they become that arrogance, that certainty filter that keeps us from dealing with our fears and keeps us thinking that we are achieving our hopes when we're not standing on firm territory. So I see that, you know, those who have decided to loosen themselves from concrete reality, from, in quotes, mainstream media, etc., instead of questioning it, they've released it, which means they have to go to the totally opposite end for their own reality. And I think that's not, you know, Neptune on a good side asks you for the spiritual truth, not to reinvent your own truth, but to keep looking down for a deeper truth, to kind of come to an essence of it, to feel that spiritual connection, not spiritual separation. So the I know it, you don't mythology can be and part of that distancing mechanism.
Right. It's like Carl Jung said, fanaticism is always shouted down doubt. I think that's fun. That could be a bumper sticker.
I like that one. Thank you. I'll buy that bumper sticker.
Yeah, fanaticism is shouted down doubt, you know, compensatory, and what you said, Heather, you know, I know and you don't, you know, it's like, there we go. So, Sean, do you have any thoughts on delusion and how we might want to toss it into the cauldron, and what is the antidote, perhaps?
Yes, well, my friend Reid Wildermuth talks about the fact that meaning is inherently a relational word. If I say, you mean everything to me, that is a statement about a quality of relation. And so all meanings that we create are part of a web of relation. And one of the great dangers of the postmodern world is that so much of what we end up relating to, rather than being what's actually alive around us, ends up being the simulacrum, the copy of the copy. Mm. And so people are in relation to ideology, they're in relation to imaginary ideas of each other, they're in relation to images and stories thrown at them in fragments. And it strikes me that the antidote to that is making real relation with our own bodies, with each other, with the body of the world. We're re-grounding that connection. And since Taurus seems to be coming up today, I'm thinking about my teacher's teacher, Victor Anderson, a great Taurus sage, who would say, first perceive, then believe.
Mm. Hmm. This mm-hmm. is great. And let me thank Barry in Scotts Valley for chiming in on that, too, contributing. Thank you. He says, a poem verse for winter solstice, underworld. It is imperative that we sink, says Carlos Williams. Thank you. Thank you, Barry. That's super great. That's really wonderful. Right. And all that you were saying, and I go back to, quoting myself, believe nothing, entertain possibilities. There's a lot of... again, the dark is rising and all. There's a lot of prison disguised as freedom is a interesting, sneaky, clearing my throat kind of a thing. So prison disguised as freedom going, blah, blah, blah. But compensatory certainty, right? Again, it's the I know you don't. We go, no, certainty was always a booby prize. And now there absolutely is none. And the ancient world, the kind of Neptunian ancient world, thinks that humans not knowing is a great accomplishment. Look, those humans have run out of certainty. Now mystery can find them. And this mm-hmm. is such a powerful time where mystery comes into the world and is available. And if we sink to our knees and we go, we have no idea, we are humbled, And so I think tossing the illusion of certainty, into the cauldron, and so much harumphitudinous strife, here's Laurel in Fairfax. Bless your heart, Laurel's attending our winter solstice, Sean. Laurel in Fairfax, California, thank you for a couple decades of inspiration. That's wonderful. And Tom in Oakland, bless your heart, pledging just for fun. Mm. You can pledge for fun. That's wonderful. A magic number. Thank you, Tom. You have gladdened my heart on behalf of all of our hearts that we keep this thing going. So many people, what's a distraction and what's on course? I think it's a powerful time where we ponder these things. And so many are like, the vaccination, yes, or the vaccination, no. It's like underneath, go deeper, go deeper. The only resolution of the pandemic is to address those conditions that gave rise to it, which is human ill manners despoiling the earth. So I like to say the virus is spiky, so let's be smooth. Right, there we go. And collaborate with everything going underneath all that surface distracting, imprisoning, polarizing strife. No, 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 no. It's like deeper, deeper. Make one's dedication now. Never mind what other people are doing or not doing that you approve. Approval and disapproval into the cauldron. I'm really in favor of that because that is such a complete. The gods are like, we don't care if you approve or disapprove. Are you willing to cooperate with the thing? Mm-hmm. Approval, disapproval, I think, is a huge distraction into each one of our souls, our dedication to partner with what we love, to protect as much life as possible. That's what's really on the table. And then, how each person does that deep dedication is their autonomous genius. There we go. So, does that hum with selves? I'm just thinking the same people over and over again. But I got such a blast of support from Barry and Laurel and Tom and Anonymous and Desiree. Thank you so much. Again, 1-800-439-5732. It's very heartening. On behalf of, composting John of Patmos's bad trip, on behalf of Isaiah, who he's, I think, my favorite prophet. Possibly, speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Like, oh, yeah, that's, may we all be agents of that. And I just want to say that, you know, what is available for us to humbly borrow these qualities from the fairy world of irresistible eloquence, the warm-hearted church social, to speak on while being fully informed of the danger, to come back to the dedication of the desirable, the all-inclusive, the collaborating with what we love, the plants and the flowers and the creatures and the, you know, that everything that's ever brought forth the best of humans in a collaborative way, be eager to be expressed in a fresh new way. So as you're doing with your wonderful Astro Deck, Heather, and I do want to say, even though we were wanting to offer that as premiums, and we were told no products, and we go, want to encourage just we all rise together that Heather's Astro Decks are wonderful Christmas presents, and you can go to her website just autonomously. You can throw money at KPFA, but you can also toss money to HeatherRowanRobbins.com. They are very fun. I'm going to order several myself.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, no, they're really great. And
fabulous.
And so, you know, and if you come up, we still have 3 minutes. Thank you, Kirsten, for reminding me of the actual correct time. We have 3 minutes. So what shall we ask? Is there anything that you want to ask Sean or Heather or myself, or we could telepath from listeners. Listeners, is there anything that you want to Right. Well, it's challenging coming up with the right question, isn't it? But we don't even have to say it.
Yes. What can we best constellate the solstice in order to play our parts?
Thank you. That's good. All right. Did you hear that, Heather? Shall we repeat?
You said, what should we constellate the solstice to? What was the last half of the question?
So we can best play our ecological roles in the Animus Revival.
So the card I pulled was the moon, and the moon speaks to, how do we make each other feel at home? How do we honor this home of ours? How do we parent the planet, parent each other, parent every sentient being on Earth in the kindest of ways? First starting with self-care, and then making ourselves feel at home, but knowing that this home that we share has no limits with the home of every creature, every sentient being on Earth.
That's great. Yeah, safety and kindness, for life deserves protections that uniqueness may unfurl. You know, and it is in keeping with our quintile. We have two quintiles, Saturn in Aquarius, which is our deep dedication to Mars in Scorpio. Mm-hmm. On Joe Biden's son, 27 plus Scorpio, the image for Joe Biden's son is the king of the fairies. And we go, there is that part of him. There is that part of him. We want to listen to your conscience, like cancel that weapons deal to Saudi Arabia, for goodness sake. But may the goodness in him be blessed. And may that which is, you know, imprisoned by corporate up to no goodness be composted, right? We get to, nuance, whatever we speak to in another is the part of them we're inviting to dance. So 1-800-439-5732, encouraging, you know, pledge for your dogs. Many dogs listen to this show, I am told, and I think my dogs would concur.
My three are sitting right here listening now.
Yes. That's right, exactly. A pledge for those who can't, 1-800-439-5732. Thank you so much, Sean Patrick O'Donohue. We will be cahooting at the winter solstice December 21st. That's wonderful. Thank you always, long, long time in perpetuity ally, Heather Rowan Robbins. I'm Caroline Casey. Thank you, Kirsten Thomas, and we will reconvene next week. Thank you, team.
Wonderful. Bye.
Bye.